you, Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy spirit guide. 904.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the book of Job, chapter 23. The book of Job, chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. And there the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." The Lord bless his own word and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious Lord, as we seek now to call upon thy holy name, may we be brought to realise it is the only name that we can plead at thy great throne, there who art the eternal majesty of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the eternal and unchanging God. And yet, Lord, thou hast condescended to man in his lowest state, to those, Lord, that are brought to know something of their vileness, something of their inability to do anything that's good, something of their wretchedness, finding that when they would do good, evil is present with them. Yet, Lord, thou dost condescend to come and eat with publicans and sinners. And as we come to thy word, may it be as Jeremiah found it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. May we find that it is a feast of fat things, a wine on the lees well refined. As we come to hear the gospel and thy eternal purposes and those things that thou hast prepared through thine own dear Son whom thou didst send into the world, the blessings that thou hast ordained and that which thou hast laid up for thy poor and afflicted people. Lord, we know not what may be the thing that afflicts us until it comes upon us. And it may not be bodily affliction. Lord, thou knowest how we are often tormented by the adversary who seeks after our soul. But Lord, break through the clouds of darkness. Shine, we pray, and make us know that thou art a God who is able to turn our darkness into light, our weakness to strength, our poverty to riches, not the riches of this world, but the riches which come through faith. Oh, that we might be rich in faith toward thee, and able to believe that thou art able to do far more exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think. We are gathered together to worship thee. Oh, Lord, we need thy gracious Spirit, for unless we do have thy Spirit, do not we worship in vain. We need, Lord, that unction of thy gracious Spirit to be felt in our own hearts, and that in turn might be the means of the moving of thy tongue to speak unto thee as Abraham did in his day. I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord. And Lord, we may find, we plead, not only our own case, but also the case of others. And in this solemn day in which we live, how few there seem to be that do own and bless thee and know something of thy mysterious yet wondrous leadings. Oh, that thou mayest lead us, to lead us by a right way. And if that is the case, shall we find a city here to dwell in, to settle down in? Many are our comforts in life, and we fear sometimes that those are things we are satisfied in and with, and therefore we make much of them. We would be rightly satisfied. Surely every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. But may we not be left to consume these things upon our lusts. But oh, may we seek first the kingdom of heaven, having proved that many things are indeed added unto us, and not for our deserts, but out of thy free mercy. And under us, may we have that sense of the greatness of thy mercy in these things, and not lose sight of it. O Lord, we know that often we need stirring up. We need thee, Lord, to come and to put forth thy chastening hand upon us. And when thou dost, may we not find it grievous, but own thy sovereign right. But, Lord, we know that our old nature will seek to move the shoulder from under the yoke. But desire a path of ease, and will then wanton with thee. Lord, we do pray that thou would in mercy cause us to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, and to cast all our care upon thee. Make us utterly dependent, oh, that we may come forth from this sin-cursed wilderness, enabled through thy grace to lean upon our beloved. Give us those views of him who came so low, who grovelled in Gethsemane, who bore our sins, was afflicted for our sake, and who died to save us from death. Lord, it is our mercy if we have a little life raised up within our soul. Oh, do enliven it, we pray, that we may be lively stones, built up together a spiritual house. We will commend unto thee this little company. Lord, we are thankful for those that have been enabled to gather in this room. May it be, as has been sought, a time of a blessing. May the word go forth with power, and in that assurance and in the Holy Ghost, grant the application of the word. Lord, we fear lest we should speak but words, and it be nothing more. But may it be thy good pleasure to give the word, to apply the word, that thou mayest get honour and glory unto thyself. We pray that thy blessing may be upon those in their varied situations. Each one's path is known to thee. Oh, may they see thy gracious goodness passing before them in the way. We bear before thee those that bear office, desiring that thou wilt help them to fulfil all their duties, to live in harmony together, and to know that brotherly love. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remove from them any spirit of dissension. We know that Satan would come in to try and divide, but in thy mercy unite. Sometimes it is, though, in these things, that when the trials and troubles come, they have that uniting effect. Lord, we do therefore not wish to speak against what thou hast purposed. But, oh, may we be given sweet submission unto all thy will. We will commend unto thee thy servant with us, and desire thy blessing and mercy upon him. Thou knowest, Lord, what is before him. Do help him in the days now before him. We will commend unto thee the bereaved church and families, and also, Lord, we would remember thy goodness even to them. Yet, Lord, it is a great loss, and we do seek that thou wilt support and uphold them, particularly on the day when they commit a loved one to the earth. Lord, we do, at least the mortal remains. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt sustain them in the days ahead. We would desire, Lord, thy goodness to be upon thy people that are scattered here and there. Thou knowest, Lord, of those that may gather in their twos and threes. We would bear them before thee and pray that thou wilt bless them, though few in number. And we are thankful that the promises left us in the Word of God. We would desire that help to thy servants, those that labour in much, being much burdened, and with their many calls upon them. Oh, may they be strengthened and helped, and helped on each occasion. Lord, how we feel that need. We dare not go at our own charges, but, oh Lord, we often have to say with Samuel of old, how can I go? But thou knowest, Lord, these things. We would desire to remember the young and rising race. We would thank thee, Lord, for them. May it be that in the years to come, when they have come through those years of which they have been under their parental influence, and may it be, Lord, that the parents have been given that needed wisdom and help in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But only thou, Lord, canst keep them, and only thou canst give them that new heart. Oh, we do desire to see a generation raised up to serve thee and to call thee blessed. Our heart is saddened to see so many that have gone away, but we would not cease to pray for them. May there be many a prodigal that is brought to themselves, brought to him or herself, and to consider the house of God, or that they may return and find that with a hungry soul there is provender in the Father's house. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon those in their declining years of life, how they may need much patience under their affliction. Sustain them, Lord, and may they be given that blessed expectation which we read shall not be cut off. And when afflictions may seem to get to that pitch where they feel they can bear it no longer, May it be thy good pleasure to give them that pleasing sight of what the exchange may be for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding and abundant weight of glory. Oh, that it may therefore be considered, and thus they be able to say, compared with what my sins deserve, how easy are my pains. Now, Lord, send help from the sanctuary for all that we need. Thou knowest our frailty. We will commend unto thee our sinful land, our leaders, Lord, bereft as it seems of wisdom. And yet, Lord, who can give them wisdom? Oh, that it might be that their eyes are open to see the folly of their ways, and they be given strength to declare the thing that they may confess as wrong, and then to profess what they believe according to thy word is right. Lord, thou art able to revive again in the midst of this our land the people who shall seek to honour thee in all their ways. So hear us, we pray, as we ask it in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. 1098.
Thank you.
Lord may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter, and read in verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. The book of Job, chapter 23, and the 14th verse. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. What a mystery are the dealings of the Lord with Job. It must have been to himself. He was one whom the Lord considered and spoke of to Satan, who was found amongst the sons of men. And as the most upright in all the land of us, one whom the Lord had favoured with much possession, with the sons and daughters, one who had been given that spirit of prayer for his children and doubtless for himself also, one who visited the throne of God's mercy frequently. And yet there were those things that came upon him so suddenly in a day, when he lost much of what he had, we may say all earthly things and comforts, and there he was to be comforted supposedly by his three friends. And yet what comfort could they give? Could they understand why this had come upon Job? Was it because of some great sin that had not been realised? Was it because of some thing which was hidden from them? Had he not walked in that way which was honouring to God? Well, no doubt they thought he had. And so Job had. But now questions may arise, and words were spoken. Some of those words, they were true. Some of those words, we find the like recorded elsewhere in the scripture. And they were the words which would perhaps, may have thought, have been of some help to Job, but not as they may express them, for Job's particular condition was very, very sore to him. Oh, how he was now in the depths. But we come to those parts in the course of his own words, where a little glimmer, an evidence of Job's faith is found, where Job had those strong certainties conveyed to his mind. I know that my Redeemer liveth. What a wonderful thing when we can say the same, I know. We cannot always say that. Some may say it when they have nothing to try them and trouble them, and they do not really know much about a Redeemer, if anything. But there are those that have been brought into the dead, and it's in those depths that they need a Redeemer. It's in those depths that they shall prove there is a messenger, and one among a thousand, and one that can teach them, and one that can unfold to them the way of salvation, or one that finds a ransom, pays a ransom, and delivers a poor soul from death, eternal death, the desert of which we all are worthy. But oh, to know the wonders of redemption. When our Job, he came to this place where he knew not where to find his God. So dark, so perplexing, so trying. He went forward, he went backward, looked to the right, to the left. And so he said, I cannot find him. And yet, the Lord was not far from him. The Lord was instructing him. And Job was able, therefore, to testify, he knoweth the way that I take. Ah, how he realized there was the omniscient eye looking down upon him. God who sees, and therefore he could say, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, he knew that there would be a good purpose, that there was a purpose in all this that he was passing through, strange as it may seem to be, but when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so Job had that raised in his own soul, not to murmur against God, but to seek the grace of submission to his sovereignty and will, and to acknowledge that the law that he was in the Lord's hands. All our times are in his hands, and Job's times were in the hands of God. And therefore, those things that the Lord did or permitted to be done were according to his divine appointment. And so we have it here. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. First of all, we must go back to eternity. Consider the decrees of God as they set forth all that he has ever planned and purposed. Did he form the earth without a purpose? Put man therein? Did he permit the fall without a purpose? Was he not to show forth his greater power, to manifest his greater blessing, to raise up those from the very depths of their iniquity and vileness, that they may sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How shall it be? Shall it be through some goodness of their own? Shall it be that Adam, who could not keep his first estate, then find a way whereby he may be acceptable unto God in his own strength and according to his own will? He had a depraved heart, a heart that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that is your heart and my heart. But oh, if he has chosen us according to his covenant purposes. And it is that covenant which is such a marvel to the child of God, that he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. David wondered at it. He indeed was. It was for David the only thing that he could rest upon. He could not rest upon his leadership, that his kingdom had been so glorious. There may have been those that perhaps considered it and admired David, but David could take no comfort from that. He saw that what it should be, yet it was not so. Though my house be not so with God. But there was a yet in David's knowledge, in David's experience, and it was that which settled upon the certainties of truth, the work of God. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And therefore Job could rest upon the same. It was the thing appointed. Well, when the Lord appoints those things for his people, it is that he might raise them up from their lost condition. That is a thing that is appointed. And it is our mercy that it is so. There would be no hope for any one of us if the Lord had not appointed the day when he would show his mercy, work in our hearts, turn us from our evil ways, cause us to seek him at a time when he may be found. Oh, it is indeed his appointment. And now, there are those things that the Lord will bring about according to the path of life, and we may have very different paths. Some of us may have been left to go into the ways of the world, and there we are, estranged from the people of God, unconcerned, as it were, like the prodigal left home. The Lord has a way. He's appointed it for a prodigal to be brought very low, to have wasted all his substance, to have none to look to, no hope to be found in himself, there where he was. And all the circumstances which may have brought him to it. Ah, the Lord, though, was appointing the things to bring him unto that place where he would say, I will go unto my Father. Oh, what a mercy it is, that the work of God is sovereign. It's sovereign mercy. And it is so for everyone that are called. But you may have been brought up under the sound of the gospel, never turned from the house of God, always been regular. Your seat was there, occupied in the chapel, that your heart was as far from God as any prodigal's. You might perhaps have known doctrine in the head. You did not know any of its bedewings in your heart. Until the Lord brought about such things appointed by him to work his work. And that work may have emptied you of all the good that you had in yourself. Now you, instead of thinking to be something, you're brought to be nothing. What means he may use to empty you? Oh, it might be affliction that he brings. It might be disappointment. It might be bringing you near to the point of death. Think of Hezekiah, although he was a gracious man and knew something of the truth in his soul. Yet when lifted up, when he may rest, as it were, in his own strength, then the Lord brought that upon him. He sent his prophet. He said, "Thou shalt die and not live." Well, what did it work? It worked a gracious repentance. And now that is appointed. And the Lord brings about that spirit of repentance and godly sorrow. You might say, how? Well, he brings us to know the one whom we are grieving. Perhaps at first in a small measure. But we must come to the fact, as David did, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And if we have sinned against God, and with some it may be that you come to know you've sinned against light and knowledge, and you may feel that that will mean you will be cast off forever until the Lord's appointed time of his drawings come, when he draws you with the cords of a man, the bands of his love. That is appointed. And the Lord performs the thing that is appointed for you. Oh, what a blessing it is to know of God's appointments. There you may find there are many disappointments that come into life. Have you proved those disappointments to be God's appointments? You set out with all your hopes set on this or that, and the Lord crosses them. He brings those things to nothing. How quickly it may come, bringing those things to nothing. Ah, but there's something better, and he will perform that thing. That thing that is appointed for me. Well, we may speak about that work of God in our beginning and of the calling of God out of nature's darkness into the glorious light. But we find there are other aspects in which the Lord will appoint his work. Think of separation. We must be separated from this world. Yes, indeed. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're not separated from the things of this world, then will you be a friend of God? Abraham was a friend of God because the Lord separated him. He brought him out from the city of iniquity, from idolatry, from all the things that may be done. And that separating work of God is a work maintained by the things that he performs. Has the Lord made something that's so near and dear to you to be now something abhorrent? You loved perhaps those things, those pleasures of life. The Lord brings something to cause you no longer to hold those things as you once did. You have to be separated from those worldly things and separated from the things that the flesh enjoys. It does not mean to say that there are not those things that we can rightly enjoy, but it is having it in its right balance and context, and only the Lord performing this work to bring you to see plainly that we must never be left to excesses. And your heart will soon run after excesses unless the Lord puts a curb upon it, and in a word, separates you from seeking that which satisfies only your own wretched self. But that separation, it is also to find there's a separating work within your own heart. It is one thing to come away from worldly things, and you need to guard against the spirit of Pharisaism. How easy it is to think that having done so, that now you are one who can look down upon others. No. The Lord will work a work in your heart where you have to be separated from your own vile self. And that you will not think then more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Has the Lord brought something, performed something in your life, where you are brought then to look upon others and say, there go I, but for the grace of God? It's something that needs to be said heartfelt, not just in word, but have you felt it? Oh, how the Lord has put a difference. How he's brought about that separating work within your own heart. And now you see that despite all the crookedness that you may observe in the Lord's people, there is something which you are attracted to in them. And that is that you see the Lord working in them as you trust that he has been working in you. And when you see the Lord's work, that is what is attractive. But he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And this will be also in the course of what is termed sanctification. What is sanctification? Well, if the Lord sanctifies, then he does, as we have already mentioned, sets apart. But there is also this, that he will work in you a desire and a longing and a following of holiness. I do not mean that you will be holy in your own self, but is there that grace, that new man of grace, that longs for the holiness to be discovered within your own heart, so that you are no longer servants of sin unto sin, but rather servants of righteousness unto holiness? Now, it may seem contradictory, but if the Lord does perform this within your own soul, you will find that you know more of the wretchedness and vileness of your own heart, and therefore you will seem and fear to get worse rather than better. But how does it work? Brings you to cry out more and more against that wretched self. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Your own inability and power, oh, that will all seem to wither like the leaf from the branch. No good in self I find, though oft have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. But the Lord is working sanctification. He is bringing you to know the only thing that you want is that you may be found as one clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Well, he leads you out by faith to view the blessed life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sanctified life. His was a sanctified life. Do you desire to be a follower of him? Will you go without the camp bearing his reproach? Will you be found as those who by with the like spirit may say, not my will, but thine be done? It's not found in nature, is it? When you're brought into some trial and trouble or affliction like Job, you don't willingly, rest there. I want to be careful what I say. Well, we don't want to settle down and say, well, what will be, and that spirit of complacency will never do. But to be still and to know that I am God, that will be a very different matter. And you will then come with Job and say, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And there's an outcome, isn't there? Gold in the furnace dry loses naught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. It is by these things that men live, and in all these things is the life of one spirit. That is it. But has the Lord performed the thing? It may be that you come into some great trial. It may be that he does as he permitted with Peter to be put into Satan's sieve. You may be sorely tempted and tried, but all that the Lord might bring about his work. It's called a strange work. It was a strange work with the children of Israel. Who would have thought that their bringing out would have been in the manner that it was? But the Lord who performs the thing that is appointed for you, he will not only bring you out, but also bring your enemies to nothing. And you may have many adversaries. The apostle was well conversant with it when he said, he hath opened a door, a great door and an effectual, but there are many adversaries. And those adversaries, but the apostle was against doubtless some of them, were those that would seek to oppose him because he preached the gospel, because he preached concerning the ineffectualness of circumcision, that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. And that did not go well with those who were of a Jewish turn of mind and thought that they must keep the law and live under that law, and they were to not be able to be saved unless they performed the law. The law fulfilled. Oh, the Lord performeth that for his people and has appointed it, so that we might then say with the psalmist, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It is a sweetness when we can see that through Christ, we can do all things. Then we may live in a calm and a peaceful way with him, with Christ in the vessel. You smile at the storm, and he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. The Lord therefore will make these things to be for the good of your soul. Only he can do it. There is therefore this aspect that we sometimes speak of, the Lord sanctifying an affliction, a trouble, a trial, a disappointment, whatever it may be. He sanctifies it. That is, he uses it to that end, that we might be benefited from it to his own honour and glory. Not to consume it upon our lusts. No, rather though to be like that spoken of, I think it's in the prophecy of Micah. And there it is to walk and to live humbly with thy God. Micah, he comes to ask that question as to what shall be done. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, not only in prayer, but how shall I come before the Lord as the one who may stand and continually be before him? And bow myself before the high God. Yes, certainly he comes there in that prayerful, worshipful manner. Then he asks the question, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Or will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for the transgression, for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? How shall we do justly? Only as the Lord works us and humbles us to see that the only means of being just with him is to look to the merits of the dear Lamb of God. He who fulfilled all righteousness. And that was what Job was brought to know and see. He asked the question, how can a man be just with God? But the Lord would show him how he may be just. The Lord brought him to know that there was only one who could be a ransom and deliver his soul from death. And then to love mercy, to love the condescension that mercy must show. You know, again, our old nature, it will not love mercy because it wants to justify itself. But those who cannot justify themselves and find that there is one that reveals such mercy as to stand in our place, a blessed substitute, oh, then brought to fall before such the Lamb of God and to love the mercy. And that will also bring you to love, to show mercy to those, your own fellows. They may be left to themselves, as vile as you have been and still would be, but for his sovereign mercy. If we have received forgiveness of him, oh then, to show the spirit of forgiveness unto such that may ask of it of us. Well, to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. Abraham, we read he obeyed God. And where there is that work of God in our heart, we will find that our soul longs to walk in humble obedience with him. That is the evidence of grace working within. How short we come in and of ourselves. We have no power the snare to shun. So often we run into the ruin, into ruin, but we have this as our sweet consolation. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And that is a refuge, an everlasting refuge for the poor sinner. Well, much may be said concerning those matters, but I want to just come to this. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. All these things, they work together for good to this end, our preparation. The law prepares. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, it cometh from the Lord. And when the Lord therefore performs that work appointed, it is that he may prepare you for what he has prepared for you. I go to prepare a place for you. To prepare that place in the mansions that his father had. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. But we may be certain that when that blessed day comes, solemn day, the day of our death, then, oh, to be prepared. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Job found that he was troubled at his presence. What will the Lord do? If we have come through this affliction or that trouble or that disappointment, what will he do in this work of preparation? Well, he knoweth. He knoweth what he will do. He will not lay upon us more than we are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way to escape, so that we may thus endure through his mercy and goodness. Remember that this work of God, he performeth it. He will not suffer as Jeremiah says in his lamentation. Where he says he will not, it's just gone from me exactly how he puts it. The Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of the man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. So he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him, not to bring us to an untimely end, but to prepare us for what he has prepared for us. Now, what a mercy it is when we see one coming down to their death. It may be short, it may be many days of suffering and trouble, many years maybe, but to see that the Lord is appointing these things, it is that He might make us as a shock of corn fully ripe, ready for the gathering. And you know, in that, there is all that the seed, from the seed to the bringing forth of the grain, all that it's gone through. Nothing which it has not perhaps been exposed to. The harshness of the weather, the winds, the deluges of rain, the scorching sun. All these things perhaps may seem to have militated against the growth, and yet how there's been a balancing, how the Lord has not caused His sun to consume altogether, but has sent His rain. And then we find that when it is ready to be gathered, yet there must be, as we've spoken, a separation, the chaff, the chaff removed, that the wheat might be gathered in. It is that wheat, bare grain, that it may chance a wheat, or to put it in this way, that we are brought down to our journey's end as that bare grain, that we may then be raised to glory itself. Now He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. What is appointed for dear Job was grace. What is appointed for a Peter, grace. For a David, for a Jacob, we may go through the long line, grace. And He that gives grace will also give glory. Well, He knoweth, He appointeth the, He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, many such things are with Him. If we are brought to know much affliction, then it's the Lord's appointment. If we are to know loss, it's the Lord's appointment. If we are faced with the moment of death, and if the Lord should deliver us from that and add to our life, it's the Lord's appointment. And if the Lord should withhold, and He may seem to withhold for a time, yet according to His appointment, He will not always withhold. No, He will not always keep back those things, but He teaches us the need of waiting. He teaches us the need of patience, the fact that patience must have its perfect work, that we may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. So often we find in this world what they have, the much that some have, they want more. But if we are brought to wait in patience and find that in that patient work there is, they are bringing down the removing of all that our flesh desires, then we shall want nothing. How sweet the testimony of the psalmist when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." No lack there. Oh, what can I want beside if the Lord is mine and I am his? He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parish is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Izzard next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. 232.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.